I stay here. We're at Ireland.
Wow. Oh, what a day. Gracious God, thank you that we can all gather here together as a church today and worship your name and be with Nigel and the words that he brings of yours, that we be open and receptive to them now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't we get up and greet one another? It says to pass the peace and love of God to one another. So find someone you haven't greeted for a long time, a month or two, and just go and give them a hug or shake hands. We're outside of COVID, so we're allowed to get close to people now. Father, I thank you that all the seasons and all the times are in your hand. Father, we thank you that they're not in the hands of presidents or prime ministers, Lord, but all the prophecies, Armageddon and everything are in your hands. And we acknowledge you as Lord of all and King of kings. Father, we don't even attempt to understand or know exactly what the years or decade ahead will bring. But all we need to know is that we can place our hand in the hand of Jesus and that you will lead and things will be well, and that we can sing that song, "It is well with my soul," while we have a hand in the hand of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's been another big week, hasn't it? We think a Queen's funeral can't be big, and then, you know, you hear all these headlines, and we study Gideon, and we think, well, that's not our life, is it? You know, no one's going to rob us of our financial blessing unless you're the coach or CEO of Essendon. So we live in times where things are rapidly changing, and we need a reminder that in whatever part of the cycle we find ourselves in, that God knows and he's faithful and he's with us. And I dare to say that the worst part of the cycle is probably the best part for God's kingdom, where God will do great things. Now, bless the preacher's heart this morning and tell me what you remember from last week. I only asked you to remember one word. And what was it? No one remembers. Ah, yes. Oops, I've gone too quickly now. So, yes, that was the one word that we were to remember. And we looked at last week. We're going to have a smorgasbord this morning. We're going to... After listening to that video of the ark, I thought, gee, do we need a preacher? That was just so good. I don't know if you picked up all the different parts and points in it, but it was deep. A lot of stuff in there. We're going to have a bit of a smorgasbord. We're going to pick up some of the themes that we've been touching on in the last few weeks, and we're going to develop them a bit further. But the message last week was how the consistency of Scripture. So we're going to move on from consistency of Scripture to the symmetry of Scripture. Some of you may not have heard that term before. With the view to elevate God's Word in our hearts and in the church, okay? But just a reminder of last week, now when these things begin to occur, stand tall. This is in the Amplified. When you get to know me, you'll realize I love the Amplified because it teases out the nuances that are not necessarily there in the original language. It says... Now, when these things begin to occur, stand tall and lift up your heads. And then the Amplifier says, in... Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, and you know the context of this verse, don't you? It's when Jesus is talking about the end times, and there's a lot of doom and gloom in there. And at the end of those prophetic verses, this is what Scripture says. Lift up your heads in joy, right? Because the suffering ends as your redemption is drawing near. Okay? Whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever arthritis in our bones, right? We need to remember that we are eternal beings and that our eternity is secure and certain in Jesus. Amen? So let's quickly review where we're up to in this series, okay? We learned that God always provides a Gideon or a Samuel or a Moses or a David, right, at the end of the cycle. And I hope you get the point that revival is a partnership. It's a coming together of two powerful truths. The free will of man, because we are free agents. God created us like that. We can go this way or that way. We can go towards God or away from God and all these different things. And the sovereignty of God. Okay? And I hope you remember the point too, that God does nothing except through. That's an amazing thing. I mean, you know, God could have just shouted from heaven, boom, and the Philistines would have still been defeated. But God chose, didn't he? Gideon and his ragtag army, and he did it, right? So and so we can't, the seasons are in God's hands, right? And we can't change those seasons, and nor should we even want to, right? But we need to know that there is a place. The church, the destiny of the church and the sovereignty of God collide and meet, okay? I hope you've learned through this series the issue of priesthood, right? From maybe not last week because that was a baby dedication, but the week before, of the failure of Eli's sons. That one of the sad hallmarks or characteristics at the end of the cycle is a deterioration in the righteousness of the priesthood, okay? And so one of the things that needs to happen for the cycle to turn is a brand new determination and commitment to righteousness, right? Especially amongst leaders. And in our church, that's not the elders or the pastor. We're all leaders. There's heaps of leaders in this church. So it's a corporate thing of all saying, Lord, help us to strive in righteousness, to grow in righteousness, right? The other point I hope that came through was don't trust in religious symbols, okay? Superstition, there's no place for superstition and religious symbols. The symbol was to point us to who? Right, the mercy seat. Did you get that last week? The mercy seat, the mercy of God, all of it there is to point us. It's a type and shadow of Christ, okay? And then one of many last points, was we unpacked the fact that the end of the cycle was in Judges, right? And so that's where we direct our heart. So what is it? The changing of seasons is restoration of God's word, restoration of righteousness, restoration of the moving of the Spirit of God, yep, and other things too, okay? So a reminder that the theme is the glory has left Israel, but it doesn't end there, does it? We know the end of the story. What happens? The ark comes back, okay? We're going to have a sneak preview too, because this is not the only story where this happens. Those of you, if Ezekiel is not your favorite book in the Bible, try to make it your favorite book, because in there is a similar story. Ezekiel sees the glory of the Lord leave the temple and then return. So there's a parallel of truths and stories in that passage. And one thing that I put after church on WhatsApp or something or other, because I realized I hadn't finished the point. We talked about Samson, didn't we? We talked about how the enemy's desire or purpose is to gouge out our eyes. Although that is a physical truth, a physical passage in the, you know, but there is a spiritual truth in that, right? Right? And we saw how the enemy, right? But then I hadn't finished that point. Okay? When you watch that video, oh, here, let me bring it up. Okay? Look at this. Eli, we know Eli, he's the high priest. But he's part of the end of the cycle. He does a half okay job, but his sons do a terrible job. But look how it describes it in Scripture. Eli, who was 98 years of age and whose eyes had failed. Get it? And if you still don't get it, let's look at a better character in Scripture. And although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyesight was not wow. You see that there? And so a characteristic of a church that's moving out of the cycle back into revival is it is a church full of vision. Okay? And I put on this thing because, you know, what does it say in Pentecost? It says, Peter stands up, and what does he say? He quotes from the prophet Joel, and he says, your young men will, and your old men will. And we all claim on one side of the ledger on that, don't we? We say, well, no, I see vision, so I must still be young. All right? But you see the character of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes so that we might see spiritually, right? In fact, I could even go further. I'm stretched. You know, someone this week said, oh, how are you going at Cornerstone? And I said, well, I think I'm okay. And they said, oh, you know, we know you have a passion for revival and signs and wonders and how you're going, you know, any signs of breakthrough? And I said, well, maybe one. I said, there's one sign and wonder that I think I might be seeing. They said, oh, what's that? I said, when I'm preaching, the deacons at the back of the church make signs. And I wonder. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. All right. Now, okay, participation. I love participation. And I love tools. And we're gonna. Oh, why has that gone off? We'll get that fixed in a minute. Okay, I love tools. And Lorraine has promised to help me. Okay. So we want to elevate God's word, okay? So I need 11 volunteers this morning. That's a lot, okay? So the way we could do it this is if you're under 90, please come up, you're a volunteer. All right? I need 11 volunteers. And this is a safe volunteering. Because you know preachers are terrible, aren't they? They get you up there and you think, what are they going to make me do? Is it going to be something silly? No, it's safe, all right? So I need 11 volunteers to hold up these. Come on up, yes, please, quickly. Birthday girl's up already. All right, okay. Now, if you stand in front of me, okay, Lorraine's going to stand up. Have we got a mic for her? We need a roving mic for Lorraine, okay? You can't change place. Once you're in place, you're in place. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need some more. Come on, we need more ladies. Ladies, come on. All right. Now, you're not allowed to show this to the audience, so you hold it face inwards, okay? You ready? Yeah, I did, yes. But you're not... Yes. It'll be a change to a normal Sunday. Okay, oh, hang on, I can't give you two. It's got to be one, all right? And one. And another one. Oh, good morning, Steve. How are you? And Murray. And we still haven't got 11 because I've got one sheet left. There we go. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. You with me now, Lorraine? With a big, loud voice. Now, this is what you've got to do, okay? When you can read your thing, but the church can't, right? When you hear your words spoken, turn your sheet around. Now, okay, now let me give a bit of instruction here. We're going from left to right. So if someone on your left turns it because they got the same one as you, refrain and wait till you hear your word, all right? So you watch it, it will go dum, 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 dum. Unless someone's sleeping, it should, right? Let's see how we go. So you're going to turn it around facing the church so the church can read it, okay, and we're going to see what happens here. You just read. Right, and when you hear her say what you've got, you turn it. Okay, ready? Let's go.
I have to sit because I can't turn the page. Okay. This is John chapter 6, starting at verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed in the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus...
No. John 6, 48.
Oh, he told me 22. Great. I have it on an email. Okay.
I printed a copy, all right? Here we go.
Problem.
You can read it off there.
Okay.
And where it's, where it's highlighted, just give a bit of emphasis.
Okay. Start again. John chapter 6, 48. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.
Can you pick it or not? It's complete symmetry. You see that? Okay. Look, the two on the end, and the two later, and then the two, and the two, and you end up in the middle with Pete. It's amazing. Pete, who's an elder, is in the middle. Right? You see that?
Is that confirmation of his eldership?
Absolutely. We don't need any more comments. He's in. Okay? Now, we haven't got time to do another one, but there are lots. Did you know that? Have you ever seen that in Scripture? Yeah, okay, thank you. You may be seated. I'll put up some screens and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so why are we doing this? We're doing this because the word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. Visions were not widespread, it says. Then the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, gift from God, and there he revealed himself through the
word.
Okay? Now, has anyone ever seen this before? Some of you are thinking, when is this guy going to take up golf and not be so passionate about God's word, you know? Why does he say he loves the word of God? This is the Hebrew meaning of each of these words, right? You remember, names mean things in Hebrew, yes? You know that, don't you? So Adam, man, Seth, appointed, Enosh, mortal. You with me? Okay, start reading. A man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down, teaching that his death shall bring despairing rest. There is the gospel. Right there. And what does design tell you? You can't have design without a? Anyone seen that before? Okay, that's just the appetizer this morning, all right? Let's move on. Okay, here is something that we just basically saw in the gospel, okay? Have you ever seen this? Okay, see A, B, C, D, and then goes back to A. That's what you did in front of the whole church, okay? We're going to look at a couple of these. We can't look at many of them, but it is wonderful. It's amazing, okay? So this is a story of Noah, okay? Noah and his sons at the top there, and there's the scripture reference, and what's down here? Noah and his sons. Oh, just a coincidence. Just a coincidence, isn't it? And then you go on to B, all life on earth, go up to B up there. Okay? The symmetry of scripture. And then where does it end up? In the middle, where Peter was with his word, where does it end up in the middle? God remembers. What is the scripture trying to tell us? God remembers. Okay? Design speaks of a designer. Okay? Let's look at one more. This one I'm passionate about. This is in the New Testament. Okay? Okay, remember I taught you about this challenge we have. The challenge we have is those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. We accept that? That's the word of God, yeah? Okay, all right. Let's look at the design of that passage. Okay, so the command or the scripture that says to worship the Father in spirit and truth is there, H in the middle. We are going to struggle because I'm afraid I've stretched it as big as I can get it, all right? And I've got this set up so that I can stretch something else a bit later, all right? But if you study this passage, it starts with Samaritan and it ends with Samaritan, okay? And it talks about water, and all of the verses above that key middle verse are all about water. Drink. Who's got the water? Where's the water? Can you give me water? Et cetera, et cetera. So you've got Samaritan, given living water. This is a conversation with Jesus and the woman, right? Given living water, get living water, drink living water, give me, you're a prophet, worship in spirit and truth. And that's wonderful, fantastic. Doesn't end there. The whole pattern is repeated, this time not with water, but with bread. Don't you find that fascinating? Isn't it beautiful? The structure of Scripture. It's designed to teach you that middle point. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And it's evenly balanced, right? Some of us do well with whether it's the word, brother, you know, you just need more of the word. And some of us do it better on the, well, it's spirit, you know, it's the spirit. Well, what does Scripture say? It's beautiful, okay? It's designed. The Holy Spirit is the great designer, the great creator, right? Now I want to look at something else, okay? Give me 2 seconds to get this back online again. I'll put that on at the end of the service. The reason I've got this is because what you're going to see, can we put up that, yes, it's too small to read, okay? So I'm going to put it on here at the end of the thing, and then you can come to the tablet and you can just go like that, right? And you see what I mean? You see what I mean? Okay, so I have a dream one day, a church, we're going to have virtual. We're going to have little corners of the church where people sit there and they're in a crusade in Kenya with 500,000 people watching people get saved in Kenya. Virtual reality, anyway. But this, okay, what have I just put up there? That is the whole of the Bible from, you don't have the capacity to, right, okay. Ash, do you mind seeing if you can put up the QR code on this while I keep going? And then we'll do that, and then I can, okay, so if you go down to connection guide or
I'll figure it out.
Or whatever, menu.
It's my first day.
I'll let you, doesn't matter if you don't, it's fine, we'll just do the best we can. Okay, you can't read it. Okay, we'll get it so that you can read it. And we can zoom into it. Now, right over here is Donald Trump. Now, some of you might say that's not a significant thing at all, okay? But this is the level of detail in this. This is brilliant, okay? And so it goes up to 2100, right? And it goes all the way back. If you look, it's not that very clear. But there is, see the yellow triangle right there, up there? Well, once we get this going with a QR code, we'll be able to zoom in. See that? You see that little yellow pyramid up there? That's when the pyramids were built. And then you can go along from the pyramid and you can see what biblical character was alive at that time, and it was Abraham. Did you know that the Egyptian pyramids were built at the same time as Abraham was alive? But the most significant thing, well, in my opinion, the most significant thing of this is if you look at Adam, right, and then you look and then you scroll around to when Noah was born, you can see that possibly Adam and Noah had a face-on-face conversation, because before one died, the other was born. Did you know that? And if you also look at Noah, right, these guys lived a long time. Right? You can see, if you look at the timeline of Noah, you can actually see that Noah hadn't died before Abraham was born. Why is that important? Well, because, you know, those who want to, you know, rubbish scripture and say, well, it's all just fables and it's all just passed down, you know, it's like Chinese whispers, you know. It is possible. We don't know. But we do know in terms of the lifespan, but we don't know for sure. But it's possible that all that Noah saw in the ark, he could have passed firsthand to Abraham. Because Noah was still alive when Abraham was born. And it's possible, we don't know, it's possible that Adam, who was there at creation, right, could have relayed what he saw and what he experienced to Noah before Noah was born. Okay? This is just amazing stuff. Next week, if you are gracious and kind and allow me to, next week I want to take Chinese characters. Have you ever seen that? You go to the ancient Chinese characters, right? And the story of the flood of Noah is contained in the Chinese characters, the ancient Chinese characters. How they describe things, you can see the biblical narrative there. Even though the nation has moved on and not followed, it's not necessarily following the Bible, but the creation, the earliest creation of the Chinese characters has scripture in it. Who knew that? Steve did. It's just amazing. That's it. Now you go to eye projector.
Of course.
That one there. Huh. And then go Q code. Yeah. And then whack that up. We're getting there. All right. So.
This is first.
Okay. Well, you're going 4 weeks to England. You've got to earn it. Can we go back to my PowerPoint now? That will be great. Yep, you click that one there.
I've done that.
Right, and oh, you're in there, and now you just go to PowerPoint. I'll do that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay, so there we go. So now, look, now the magic happens. Look, if I go like this, see, now you can read it, right? And there's Abraham, and who's still alive when Abraham's born? Right now, see, this is all the life of, right? This is when, see, that's when Adam was born, and that's how long he lived. This is why I believe we've gone on a wrong direction. Like when we so rely on carbon dating, but we forget that at the flood something scientifically significantly happened at the flood. How do we know that? Because before the flood, it never rained. Scripture tells us that the earth was watered from, right? It didn't come this way, it came this way. So something dramatically happened. And not only that, Scripture records it dramatically happened because of the amount of years they lived. Okay? So although we're peering into science, I believe science significantly, there wasn't a rainbow before then, right? Now, whether that means there just wasn't rain above or whether science as we know it was changed at that point, I don't know. All right. So here is Adam. Here's the lifetime of these people. There's Noah. Okay, you can see. Let me go bigger. Okay, so there's Adam's life, right, 930. There's Noah. And if you look at the overlap, 930, you can see that. And then if you go this way, where are we? Shem, there's all the sons of Noah. Anyway, we could spend a whole sermon on this, but I'm going to leave it there. And I've also printed one so that you can, even when the projector's off, you can have a look at that. All right. We've got to move on because this is only... Okay. So if we go back to our thing, Adam lived until Noah was born. Noah was alive when Adam was born. Now, this is the thing. This is a clear point here. It says in Scripture, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130. This is Jacob talking, okay? Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of old, okay? Because it was a dramatic shortening of biblical lives. Okay, and then it says in the days of Saul and David, okay, from that time on in biblical history, people live 70 or 80 years, right? David lived 70 years. So any of you who've got past 80, you got a special blessing of God on your life. Okay? So anyway. Okay, now I just want to quickly talk about the Ark of the Covenant speaks of Christ, it speaks of his presence. But let's just put some scripture around that. Okay? Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, longing to be in his presence, Chronicles said. And Moses said to him, this should be the cry of the church. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not lead us up here, lead us up from here. This is the cry of the heart of the people in Scripture. It says, you shall set the bread of the presence, the showbread, the bread of the presence, on the table before me at all times. One thing I've asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in the original language, in his presence. The glory of the Lord. We are learning from Scripture, the glory of God can depart and it can return. And in the biblical cycles, we see that it does. Okay? Now, here's those of you who like, we could have 10 weeks on biblical archaeology. We'll do that one time, shall we? Look at all the facts that we've found in the last 100 years that support Scripture as being accurate. But here's the journey of the Ark. And notice in the video we saw before, it was exactly 7 months. No, that's not significant, is it? What does a 7 mean in Scripture? Right? So it was in the land of the Philistines just by chance for a by chance period. No. All designed, okay? And next week's going to be fantastic because next week we're taking the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem and we're going to see what are the spiritual principles to restoring Jesus' presence in the midst of his people, okay? But we're not quite there yet, all right? Now, there's also, just to throw this in, how are we going on time? What are we up to? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Five, all right. So some of you may have noticed that there is a parallel here between this story and the Exodus story, okay? And I'm just going to, without naming it, I'm just going to put it out there, okay? Because it's too dangerous to name it. In the Exodus story and the story we're in right now with the Ark and the Philistines, they both had boils, blotches. I don't need to say any more, okay? So think about that. Selah. Those who did not die were afflicted with tumors, and the outcry of the city went up to heaven. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. See the parallel? Both stories, the same type of thing, right? Now, another interesting thing in this passage, okay, the period of time between Joseph, it's a type of Christ, and the Exodus is 400 years. The ark in the land of Canaan to this point is approximately 400 years. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is 400 years. And from the Reformation to the Azusa Street or Welsh Revival, there is 400 years. There are cycles and patterns and seasons in history. Okay? All of these seasons, you think of Gideon, he's broke. Okay? He should have a harvest, and where is he? He's in the wine press, he's broke. Okay? There is an economic story in this. If you look at the Reformation, the Dark Ages, the Black Plague, they are pretty much broke. Okay? So, if you look at the Israelites in Egypt before they were delivered, they were doing twice as much bricks, they were broke. Okay? Boils and sickness is a pattern. Okay? Sinful priests is a pattern of this cycle. 7 months is God's perfect timeline. Note this point. This is interesting. The ungodly knew something. Now, think of that in today, 2022, okay? Look at the behavior of these Philistines, okay? The Ark of the Covenant proved to them that their God was a failure, a false, okay? That's what Jesus does. When we take Jesus into the Philistines, the unbelievers, Jesus will call the the false gods to fall down and to break, okay? We've got to see it's not just these spiritual truths are forever, okay? But also, the Philistines didn't just say, well, let's get rid of this thing. No, they wanted to get rid of this thing in a right way, and it comes back again to offerings, right? And I want to add this point too. The ark is in exile instead of Israel in the story. Think about that. Who deserved what the Philistines were getting? Who was wicked? Who was the ones who, right? And yet in this story, they are spared. It's the Philistines that get the rough end of the deal, okay? So even in the Ark of the Covenant in the land of the Philistines speaks of God's mercy, okay? Okay, and then another thing too that the Philistines wanted to know, they wanted to know, is this God or is it by chance? Take that thought into evangelism shift, okay? I was at a conference just recently where it says 20, did I share this last week? It says 25% of Australians surveyed said they would say yes if they were invited to a church service by a friend. 25%. And 75% of Australians said they believe in the spiritual world. Okay? So when we think it's not. So let's we'll have to finish here, I think. Well, yeah. Ezekiel will hold for another day, okay? But watch. If it goes up by the way of its own territory to Bathsheba, then you will know that he has done it, this great evil. But if not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us. This disaster happened to us by chance. Okay? So the Philistines want to know, is global warming God or chance? Or just bad stewardship of us? Okay? People want to know, is this... And in the heart of the Bible, there are two books. One deals with the issue of sowing and reaping, which is which book? Proverbs. And the other book deals with the whole issue of chance. Ecclesiastes. You've got two books that deal with, that are focused on those two things. We'll have to stop there. I've got another. Let's pray. Lord, we've got a harvest field out there, and in one sense, in different ways, Lord, we know the stories of brokenness, of children hurting, of marriages failing, of all sorts of different things, even physical ailments in our day that just seem to be peculiar to one group or type of people in our community. All of these things are truths that are eternally true. Father, may we love your word. May our affection, may our love for your word just grow and grow. May we be in awe and wonder at the design of your word. May we be a people that increasingly grow in our wonder and love for your word. Lord, give us a heart for the harvest field. Lord, as Christmas is coming, show us redemptive partners that we might have. Lord, let this Christmas service be the greatest Christmas service we've had. Let us fill this place with people who are asking this question, is life all just chance or is it by God's design? Father, bring them in. And may they know your love, your kindness, and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thanks, Ash.